Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms. And finally, a wildlife biologist at the Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife got word of a dead bald eagle found at Highland Lake in the town of Bridgeton. The bird, which is illegal to kill, had been found with a puncture wound in its chest, and an investigation found that the bald eagle was stabbed through the heart by the beak of a loon. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
What do you make of that story? Ron McGill joins us now. Thank you for doing so. Greg Cody not here today. He will be here tomorrow. What did you make of that bald eagle story, Ron?
Oh, just another happy, positive story by Stu Gotch. Just loves when he brings that stuff across.
Death and destruction.
There you go.
Can you tell me, I know we have the habit of making animals human, dabbling in anthropomorphic traits, but when a whale shark gets caught in some rope and then some people tie themselves to the whale shark and cut off the rope, and the whale appears to wave thank you at them when he's or she is leaving. That's us applying human traits to the whale, right? The whale is not waving in gratitude, correct?
Yeah, most likely you're right, Dan. That's not to say that the whale does not feel gratitude. You know, I take a little... I don't know the exact definition of anthropomorphism, other than it seems to imply to me you're giving human traits to an animal. I believe animals can have emotions. They can feel fear. They can feel gratitude. They can feel happiness. So I think to say that animals can't feel that is very self-centered of us. Now, to interpret something that an animal does as something that we would do meaning the same thing, that's where I think you're wrong. For instance, like when a chimp smiles, a chimp is not happy. A chimp smiles, it's stressed, you know, it's agitated. So there's different body language that mean different things with animals, but they do feel the same emotions we feel. I firmly believe that.
Is there an animal that you can say conclusively will show you gratitude? It is gratitude, period.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, you know, a dog, any domestic animal pet will show you gratitude. And just the way it wags its tail and lays its head on your lap, you know, that's gratitude for being its friend, for that companionship that you offer the dog. Even though usually people look at it from the other way around, the dog's offering companionship to you. No, you're also offering companionship to the dog. And that gratitude is expressed by the wagging of the tail, the laying of the head down, you know, laying down next to you. Those are forms of gratitude.
Ron, I got a haircut last week, and I feel great. Which animal in the animal kingdom cares most about its personal grooming?
You know, I'm going to have to say it's generally speaking, the category it's birds, because birds, their personal grooming is so essential to their survival. In the sense, they have to keep their feathers in great shape. They have to keep them preened. They have to keep them clean, bathing. So, you know, birds spend a tremendous amount of time grooming their feathers, because if their feathers aren't in good shape, it's not properly oiled, properly preened, they can't fly, they can't survive. So that's a matter of survival. It's not as much ego or what's the word I'm looking for, you know, you know the word, Dan. But anyway, the bottom line is
me.
Oh my gosh, vanity. That's the word I was
looking
for.
Exactly.
Stugatz, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Ron, I'm wondering, I believe you're opening Zoo Miami back up on June 1st, and I am wondering, A, are you nervous about it? And B, just as someone operating a business, what steps are being taken as you approach that date where you will reopen the zoo and allow people to come back into and onto your property?
Well, you're right. We are opening to the general public on Monday, June 1st. We're opening to our members tomorrow, kind of like a run-through, basically, having the members come through. Listen, the biggest advantage we have here, guys, is that this park is huge. We have over 700 acres here at this park. If you walk every walkway, it's 3 miles of walking. So keeping social distancing should not be a big challenge here. What we're doing, like most other businesses, because of the executive order here in South Florida, to enter the park, you have to be wearing a face mask. Once you're in the park, if you can, maintain your social distancing, you're allowed to take the face mask off. Some things will not be open. Some of our water play areas, our playgrounds, of course, will be closed for the time being. And that may change as time goes on, because I understand now they're getting ready to start opening pools and stuff like that, too. But for initially, we're going to keep those things closed. The tram will not be running initially because, it's harder to keep that social distancing. We will be renting our safari cycles, our strollers and things like that with thorough cleaning before every rental. Food will be served with, again, social distancing, table set far apart. We won't be having the feeding of the animals, that direct contact of feeding with the animals for the time being. But guys, I got to tell you, this stuff changes by the minute. By the minute. You say one thing and then, next hour there's a new email that comes in and says, oh, we're doing this now. Oh, okay. So it's hard to keep up. It's very fluid.
Billy, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami? Billy Gill has a couple of questions for you, Ron. What do you got?
Ron, how do we know that our pets actually love us and don't have a form of like Stockholm syndrome?
I think you can pretty easily differentiate between obedience and just pure companionship, that love of being with you, of being happy. I know people always, the extremists get on me when I say, oh, how can you say an animal's happy? Animals aren't necessarily happy. How do you know it's happy? You know what? If an animal is thriving, it's eating, it's growing, it seems to show these types of emotions of being happy, it's happy. It's okay. So I think there's the difference, and I think that's what you see. You see the difference between a companion animal that chooses to be with you, enjoys being next to you all the time, as opposed to an animal that is obeying something because of fear or some type of retribution.
Roy, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Yeah, Ron, now that public places are opening, how is that going to affect animals that are used to being fed by humans, and how is that going to affect animals like baby sea turtles going back to the ocean and going back to their natural habitat?
Well, what we're hoping is that we learned a little bit of a lesson of how the Earth kind of was able to breathe a little bit more freely here during this time. I know it's totally naive to think we can maintain that for any extended period of time, but hopefully people can understand that, listen, if we give the Earth a chance, it can recover. And maybe we'll take a little bit more consideration. As far as like the baby sea turtles go, people need to keep those lights off at night, because sea turtles instinctively follow light for the moon and things like that. And if they have lights on the shore or lights on the roadways next to the beaches, they might go the wrong way and get killed. So hopefully people are just more cognizant of these things that we can do to help animals that don't necessarily make it more difficult for us. I mean, there are workarounds. Hopefully with awareness and education, people can understand that. Animals are certainly going to have more challenges as people get back on the roads and start getting into these places that animals have recently started to explore on their own that weren't, commonly seen before this. But they'll adjust, they'll adapt, and hopefully there's a little bit of a compromise. Maybe we can adapt a little bit too.
Chris, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Ron, every neighborhood has the one house, at least here in South Florida, that feeds ducks way too much, and the ducks start cultivating around these houses. In my dad's neighborhood, it has become him. My dad and my mom have started feeding these duck families, and now they come twice a day looking for food. My question is, I kind of get uneasy by that because I feel like they're affecting the natural process of life. Are you okay with people feeding ducks, and are you okay with my dad doing it?
Okay, this is going to be something I know I'm going to get the hate mail for, and people are going to say, oh, how can you be an animal lover? I am not okay with feeding the ducks. When you start feeding wild animals, and unfortunately most of these ducks are all introduced anyway, they're non-native animals that didn't naturally occur here, but when you start feeding these animals, first of all, people feed them things that they think are good for them, and they're not really good for them. For instance, you feed bread to ducks, it's not good for ducks. okay? It's not good for any birds, for that matter. But people start feeding these animals, and these animals start to build a dependency on people. And all of a sudden, you go on vacation or something, and the people are not there, and they got to figure, okay, I got to fend for myself. And sometimes it's more of a challenge for them that way. We've got to help ensure that animals maintain their natural instincts to get food on their own. Okay, that's part of the problem probably today with society. You know, back in the hunter-gatherer days when people had to go out and gather their food and hunt their food or cultivate their crops, you didn't see a lot of big lazy people getting out of shape. Okay, so that's what you're doing with these animals. You're starting to make things a little too simple for them, and in the long run, you're making their lives maybe a little shorter because their health is not as good.
Anthony, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Ron, it's been raining like crazy here in Miami the last couple of days. And my question is, what do anthills and ants do when it rains this profusely? Where do they go?
They go into people's houses. That's what you're going to see. That's why a lot of people now, exterminators, are getting their phones ringing off the hook because people are saying, oh, my God, I've got all these bugs in my house. Why are all these bugs suddenly in my house? Because they're getting drowned out of their subterranean habitat that they naturally exist in. So when you have these heavy rains, these insects will naturally look for higher ground, and that's when they get up into houses that are built up on concrete platforms and provide them with basically a big raft. So at this time of year is when you start seeing these animals as they, you know, if they can't find a tree to go up into, if they can't find a higher ground, they'll get into houses. And that's why you're seeing so many of these insects now showing up in homes.
We will talk to you next week, Ron. Always good talking to you. Thank you for making the time, sir.
Thank you, Dan. Sound a little happier, Dan. You sound a little down today.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Ron. It's not okay that I'm down. It's like I'm the chimp, right? When I sound down, I'm actually happy. And when I'm smiling, I'm going to attack you. Thank you for
always
being on.
Always a pleasure,
my
friend.
See ya.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show. With some stock advice right there. Plus our Miami only hour, our best of podcast on demand in the ESPN app, and subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends podcast network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcast, and we do appreciate all your support.
Steve-O is going to join us in about 10 minutes. Headline in the Washington Post quotes a man's final words as I cannot breathe. FBI investigates death of black man after video shows cop kneeling on his neck. Steve Kerr has tweeted about that. This is murder. Disgusting. Seriously. What the hell is wrong with us? Now, the coaches in the NBA most willing to go down this path, Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich, Stan Van Gundy, they're doing so at least in part beyond just obvious humanity. They're doing so at least in part because they work in a world with a lot of black men, and they get those opinions, they get heard. And so for Steve Kerr to support this is a lot easier than for Steve Kerr to support the idea of free speech as he should have in China when he has to go up against sneaker dollars and basically being told by his employer, hey, we need to stay out of this. Steve Kerr is very socially active in this realm, where it makes his job easier and better. These are popular opinions with his players, but he was muzzled in a way that was super disappointing when it came to protecting the basketball dollars. But as these stories continue to make an appearance, Stugatz, one of the things I was laughing about with a friend of mine this weekend is, you know, that over the last 20 years, at least one of the reasons that I'm so unpopular, beyond obnoxious, strident, ego, bloated, all that stuff, is because for 20 years I have been talking about this kind of stuff in a realm where people don't often want it with their sports. The funny thing about that, Stugatz, and the ways that it has made me unpopular is I so underestimated it. I so underestimated how bad it was. I have not realized until over the last 5 years with the advent of social media and everything else before that that allowed us to have video cams, we all now can see it's so much worse than I was saying it was when you made me hugely unpopular for saying it was bad. Like,
Are you directing that at me specifically or just
no,
in general?
No.
Okay, good.
I'm just saying that those in the audience who hate that I speak about this subject or hate this radio show because I speak about this subject, whatever I was saying was paling compared to how bad it actually is in terms of the social divisions in this country over this stuff. Like, the idea that people would get mad at me, I'm benign compared to how bad the problem actually is on where and how people are divided on subjects like this between the police and what feels often in a criminal justice system that is filled disproportionately with minorities, that the police can get away with murder, that the police can get away with a knee on your neck.
It's ridiculous, but are you feeling now that you didn't do nearly enough when you were talking about it because you didn't know just how bad it actually was? Is there some regret here? Because you were talking about it, Dan, and you talked about it a lot, but you were right, and that's interesting, because with social media, we now see just how bad a lot of the, most of these cases are. And you did not know that many, many years ago. No one knew that. And now we all know because we could see it. And in some cases, many cases, there is video attached to it.
But all you have to do is talk to black people, talk to minorities, which Steve Kerr does in his workplace all the time. It's how Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr and Stan Van Gundy come upon those opinions by making their money from the human beings who have human perspectives that might be different based on their race, based on their culture, based on their experiences being different than the experiences that some other people have had. So Steve Kerr, again, though, like, you see how this stuff becomes complicated. In this particular case, Steve Kerr is one of the leaders in terms of pointing out stuff like this. But when a free speech issue landed on his doorstep, he shrunk because he had to, as a good employee of his business, if he wanted to stay in that business, because that business shrunk when it came to everything happening in China, choosing dollars over something as simple as free speech and democracy.
I mean, people say that LeBron shrunk in that moment, and he did.
There was nothing. It was only Enos Kanter who was out there because he's somebody who had to flee for freedom. That's the difference. It's when you have to fight for freedom, when you have to flee for freedom, it's different than being given freedom. And so many Americans take that freedom for granted. I mean, yesterday, Stugatz, we're celebrating, if you can say celebrating, Memorial Day and remembering, and I don't know if you saw this, but the SportsCenter Twitter account sent out, Pat Tillman, the former Cardinal player who left football to fight in a war and then died, and it was just so partial what was sent out. Like, it wasn't put out, hey, friendly fire killed him. And then there was a cover-up. Like, that's not the part that we talked about. Just the heroism in him going into a hail of bullets from his own men and then a cover-up. That's how we did that one. We'll lighten it up with Steve-O next.
All right.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Steve-O expected to join us in just a minute here. Here's your SportsCenter update. Kyle Busch won the NASCAR Xfinity Cup race at Charlotte Motor Speedway in overtime. NASCAR suspended three critical crew members for Denny Hamlin's team because a piece of tungsten fell off his car on the pace lap before the Coca-Cola 600. And finally, researchers in Australia have achieved a world record internet speed of 44.2 terabits per second, allowing users to download 1,000 HD movies in a single second. The highest commercial internet speed anywhere in the world is currently in Singapore, where the average download speed is 197.3 megabits per second. In Australia, the average download speed is 43.4 megabits per second, 1 million times slower than the speeds achieved in the latest test. SportsCenter is brought to you by Blue Emu. From one of America's most trusted brands comes a new Maximum Strength Arthritis Pain Relief Cream. Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Pain Relief Cream is non-greasy, deep-penetrating, and it's odor-free. Don't let joint pain strike you out. Reach for Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Cream. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
You know him from Jackass, Jackass the Movie, Jackass Number 2, Jackass 3D, Wild Boys. He and his friends are totally nuts. They change the game in terms of doing things that are dangerous. Steve-O with us on ESPN Radio. Thank you for joining us. Hope you are well. The thing I wanted to know about first, though, I don't know how much you get asked about this, is your 1 year at the University of Miami. How did that go, and why was it only 1 year?
It was actually slightly over a year. And by the way, thanks for having me. I just couldn't bring myself to go to class. I really struggled with attendance. And as such, I failed out. I also behaved really badly and was thrown out of the dorms. And then I kind of upped and dropped out. So that was why I left early.
So if you had to take a guess how often you went to class, like, were you just partying the entire time? Like, what percentage of classes did you go to?
Well, I can tell you that for the first semester, actually, my first semester wasn't so bad. It was my second semester. My first whole year, Team Italy GPA was, was it 0.079 or 0.79? I don't know. Yeah, 0.79 sounds about right.
All right.
Okay. So that'll tell you.
What can you tell us about graduating? You didn't graduate from UM, but you did graduate from the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Clown College. You didn't have any more trouble important. Graduating there? Yeah, more important, sure.
Right, for sure. Now, what happened was when I dropped out of the University of Miami, I was homeless for 3 years, sort of couch surfing and roaming around. But I spent most of the 3 years just still living on campus at the University of Miami, vagrant style. And I befriended the University of Miami dive team, which, with the platform diving, it was a real Olympic factory over there. And this one apartment in the student athletic apartments housed the number one, the number two, and the number three ranked Olympic platform divers for the NCAA. And these guys kind of took a liking to me. I was like this maniac. I said, I'm going to become a crazy famous stuntman. I'm going to do all these crazy stunts. And they took me under their wing and taught me how to do like a perfect standing backflip, how to walk up and down stairs on my hands, all this fun stuff. And I was really determined to become a stuntman. I taught myself with the standing backflip how to simultaneously breathe fire while rotating the backflip and all kinds of cool stuff. But I wasn't really getting any traction, you know, as far as having a real career. So when I found out about Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Clown College, I thought, oh, well, this is it, because if I graduate from Clown College, then people will be forced to respect me as a stuntman because I'll be a trained circus performer. So I'm the only guy who ever went to Clown College seeking legitimacy. And it was good. It was especially funny was when I was going to Clown College, my cousin was attending a mortuary school to learn how to become a mortician. And our mothers were intensely debating whose son was a bigger loser.
What are the details that you can share with us about how sad it was to work at the flea market circus?
The flea market circus, I mean, personally, I wasn't sad at all. I thought it was kind of cool. You know, I got paid in cash, $500 every week. And, that's fueled my drug habit. I was a terribly cocaine addicted flea market circus clown. And, life was good.
Life was good. Oh, God. Steve-O with us here on ESPN Radio. I guess with that in mind and going back to your education, it appears the real education you got was in a bathroom one night with Mike Tyson.
That definitely played into it. Absolutely. Yeah. I met Mike Tyson at it was a weird situation. There was a I recall it being like a nightclub or a bar or something. Mike Tyson was there. It was kind of exciting. It was a big deal, and I sort of caught wind that everybody in this group was headed to a house party and sort of figured out where it was, and I showed up uninvited, and I went and rang the doorbell at this house that I was not invited to, and the person who opened up the door was actually Mike Tyson, and I said, is there any, like, is it cool if I come in? And he said, you got any coke? And I was like, yeah, dude, I have a bunch, like lots. And so he like threw this, it was like he threw a punch past me is what it felt like. And then hooked it around the back of my head, like yanking me into the house. We went straight into this little bathroom in the house, locked ourselves in there, and proceeded to go through so much cocaine. Oh, it was absurd. I had I had cocaine in each pocket of my jeans. Like the one pocket, I had a full, known as an eight ball, an eighth of an ounce, which was untouched. And then in another pocket, I had an eight ball that was like halfway, you know, we went through all of it. It was probably 5 grams of cocaine, which is a lot.
Good and, God.
It took us about 3 hours, I think.
What?
And, it was so crazy. Mike was, had this way of doing cocaine, which was just fascinating to me, where he took a cigarette and rolled it back and forth in his fingers such that all of the tobacco fell out, leaving only a cylinder of empty, you know, paper, just a tube of paper in the filter. And then he just started scooping just cocaine, just pure cocaine into it, not mixed with tobacco or anything, just into this tube of paper. And I'm thinking, like, there's no way that could possibly work, you know, like logistically. You can't But he made it. He made it work. He filled it with nothing but powder cocaine, and smoked the whole thing. And here we're locked in this little bathroom, and it's like you can almost hardly see through like this dense cocaine smoke in this bathroom. And I'm snorting lines. I just kept supplying him, and he smoked these crazy cocaine cigarettes one after another until it was all gone. And it really was a night to remember.
All right. We're going to talk to you tomorrow, okay? We need to talk to you tomorrow. We have to talk to you tomorrow. Do not, like, disappear on us. We need to continue this conversation tomorrow, okay?
I think, well, tomorrow I'm actually driving. Well, today I'm driving up to visit with my fiance's family. But I would love to come back on. And I'd love for everybody to know, too, that I've started this insane podcast called Wild Ride with Steve-O, and it's available everywhere podcasts are consumed. The last one I put up just 2 days ago was with Shaquille O'Neal, which I'm pretty thrilled about. I've had Tony Hawk on there, Ronda Rousey, who else? Some really pretty good ones. We're getting ready to do Dana White next.
We'll promote it again tomorrow. When we talk to you tomorrow, we'll talk to you about it tomorrow, okay? Yeah, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, Steve-O.
Hey, you guys are the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve-O.
The polls next.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Navy Federal Credit Union has a mission to put members first by making their financial goals the priority. Learn more today at NavyFederal.org.
So ESPN has these very lucrative, important partnerships with basketball and football and college football. So it may have escaped your attention that ESPN is not overcovering that the great leader in sports, leading us back into the world of freedom without fear of the virus, is, and this was a bit of a long shot, Gary Bettman.
Yeah!
Gary Bettman has become the miracle reason that the Florida Panthers, who have been five out of the final playoff spot for my entire lifetime, are now making the playoffs. Because you know how they make the playoffs? When you add playoff teams. They aren't five out of the final playoffs. We figured out the way for it to happen, Stugatz. This is how it had to happen. Right. They were five out of the final playoff spot, but now it's not the final playoff spot anymore. Now, if you gave them more games to play and they had to get in, they'd figure out a way to be five out of the final playoff spot, but they can't be 5 points out of the final playoff spot when there's a pandemic that doesn't allow us to play. So a confluence of events had to happen to get the Florida Panthers into the playoffs, none of which had to do with the Florida Panthers playing well.
We'll take it.
At Lebatard Show.
Coming for you, Isles.
That's what hockey needed.
With revenge on our minds.
More playoff teams is what hockey needed. At Lebatard Show on the polls, what do you have, Stugatz?
All right, Dan. Again, at Lebatard Show on Twitter, is the ball bouncing off of Jose Canseco's head for a home run the greatest play in sports history? Every year we celebrate it, we talk about it, and then as a show, we don't do nearly enough with it. I don't know.
7 years ago today, this is the anniversary. We really do. We need put it in the calendar, Billy. The 28th year, we need to celebrate with more fanfare. Maybe do like a 30 for 30 on Jose Canseco. Get, like, just talk to nothing but Jose Canseco-related guests, perhaps. At Lebatard Show on Twitter. Go ahead, Stugatz.
78% of the audience said yes, it's the greatest play in the history of sports. You've been on that for quite some time. Scrolling up here, scroll, big white, fat face, fat face, fat. He's white.
It's a
fat
face. All
right. Have you tried to end your social media?
Hold up. What's better than 16 NHL playoff teams, dude? 24 of them! Oh, my gosh, dude! A round robin? A round robin? That's the only thing better than a red robin. Dude, I want steak fries. I can't go to the beaches, so I'll get my playoff hockey on. Good news is I've had a playoff beard for 2.5 months, brother!
You are way too close to the microphone.
It doesn't pick me up when I'm this far! This condo is echoey!
At Lebatard Show on Twitter, Stugatz.
Oh, God. Have you tried to end your social media addiction by deleting Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook from your phone? And Billy did that over the weekend. 66% of the audience said no.
All hail the Bony Sapphire Commissioner Gary Bettman, the big kahuna. We love you, Gare.
Did you feel better about yourself when Tom Brady ripped his pants? 83% of the audience said yes. Oh, you're done now. Do you think only fat people could rip their pants? 62% of the audience said yes. That's not fair. Was Peyton Manning drinking alcohol? 85% of the audience said yes. Do supermarkets still have gumball machines? 51% of the audience said no. Does everyone need $70 million? 85% of the audience said yes, and bleep you to the 15 who said no. Did the firefighter competing against Joe Thomas in the Titan Games choke? 90% of the audience said yes. Those are the polls, Dan.
We got to get Joe Thomas on. Do you think Steve-O is going to come on with us again tomorrow? Do you think that that's going to happen, or are we going to misplace him? Because that has some promise. That is a relationship that has some promise.
Steve-O seems like someone who could easily be misplaced.
Yes. He might be flaky, though. You don't know. Yeah, we'll look forward to it. Maybe.